Well, this morning we reach our final chapter in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 33 of the Last Judgment. God hath appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom all power and judgment is given of the Father, in which day not only the apostate angel shall be judged, but likewise all persons that have lived upon earth shall appear before the tribunal of Christ to give an account of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy in the eternal salvation of the elect, and of his justice in the damnation of the reprobate, who are wicked and disobedient. For then shall the righteous go into everlasting life and receive that fullness of joy and refreshing which shall come from the presence of the Lord. But the wicked who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be cast into eternal torments and be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. As Christ would have us to be certainly persuaded that there shall be a day of judgment, both to deter all men from sin and for the greater consolation of the godly in their adversity, so will he have that day unknown to men, that they may shake off all carnal security and be always watchful, because they know not at what hour the Lord will come, and may be prepared to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen." Well, the Westminster Confession closes its brief exposition of the Christian gospel with this solemn and yet, I think, deeply reassuring chapter. We read in section 1 that God hath appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. The divines are quoting, you'll notice, from Acts 17:31, where we are told that Jesus Christ himself will be the judge, to whom we will all give account of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Now, intrinsic to God's judgment will be the truth that it is not arbitrary, but wholly just. As Romans 2:2 puts it, it will be according to truth. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, every single one of us. This is where history is inexorably heading. This is the omega point of history. This is the one event that God has yet to fulfill in his divine calendar. Now, in section 2, the divines spell out that even the final judgment will be the display both of God's glory of his mercy and the glory of his justice. And this, I think, incidentally, is how we are ultimately to think of final judgment. However unfathomable aspects of it may be, God will be glorified in it. It is not extrinsic to God's glory. It will be intrinsic to God's glory. And in particular, the glory of his mercy and the glory of his justice. Now, you'll notice that there is an asymmetry to final judgment. That is to say, the elect owe their salvation to the free electing love and mercy of God. We do nothing to deserve it. But the reprobate will be cast into eternal judgment, into eternal torments, because they know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are wicked and disobedient. That is to say, while election is sovereign, full stop, judgment is judicial and sovereign. The elect are saved by contributing nothing. We do nothing to merit our salvation. But the reprobate do something to merit their judgment. They are wicked and disobedient. They know not God and obey not the gospel of Christ. It may be a little simplistic to put it like this, but I think it helps our thinking. Election is sovereign. Reprobation is judicial. There is an asymmetry at the heart of God's sovereign dealings with his creation. And then finally in section 3, the divines affirm that the when of final judgment is known to no man. And the reason for that is that we might shake off, they say, all carnal security and always be watchful. That day, we know, Mark 13, will come suddenly and unexpectedly. Remember in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus impressed on his disciples in different ways, both in precept and in parable, that they will know not the day or the hour. Therefore, he counseled them, watch and pray, for at such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. And so they conclude that we might be ever prepared to say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. And I think that leaves us asking this question. In the light of that truly awesome reality, and Christians should never speak of divine judgment without a tender heart and literally, almost literally, tears in our eyes. If we cannot speak of divine judgment with a heart that is tender to sinners and that feels the awesomeness of the weight of what we're saying, let us keep our mouths closed. But in the light of that, how are we to live? Well, I suppose the Apostle Peter puts it as well as anyone in Scripture when he says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live godly and holy lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Let us pray. One day, Holy Father, we shall all of us stand before the tribunal of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We thank you, gracious God, that on that day, by your infinite mercy, we will be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of our own, but that which is through faith, the very righteousness of God. And yet we know that on that day, Lord, our lives will be sifted and searched. Oh, that our lives on that day will be found in all their poverty and weakness to have been lived to the praise of your glory. Grant, O Lord, the grace day by day to live as we are called to live, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And so we say, Lord, with your saints of old, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.